Unit 20. Rule of Law. Page number 23. Structure. 20.0. Objectives. 20.1. Introduction. 20.2. Rule of Law. What is it? 20.3. Rule of Law in UK. 20.4. Conclusion. 20.5. Let us sum up. 20.6. Keywords. 20.7. Some useful books. 20.8. Answer to check your progress exercises. Page number 24. 20.0. Objectives. This part of the lesson is written to bring your kind attention to the concept of rule of law that is operating in various countries and their importance. Most importantly, the rule of law supports greater democracy and facilitates faith in political and democratic institutions in the country. After understanding this lesson, you will be in a position to appreciate the importance of rule of law and its importance. 20.1. Introduction. There are in Britain three kinds of law: common law, equity, and statute law. Common law arises from ancient systems, finds its origin to about 800 years back before the Norman conquest. There was no uniform legal system, and the courts were local bodies, and laws had varied a great deal in different places. The Norman and Angevin kings were determined to unite the nation and to make the strength of monarchy felt, or, in the legal phrase, to make the king's writ run throughout the length and breadth of the land. They found that their judicial power was the most effective instrument for this purpose, and their practice was to send their judges to tour the country and to see that it was being properly governed. In the beginning, the travelling judges listened to cases in the local courts and applied the customs which they found in different places. Gradually, they began to iron out the difference and applied the same principles everywhere without much regard for particular local customs. By the process of unification, the judges built a system of rules which was the same or common for the whole of the realm. This was the origin of what we still call the common law. It was the origin of the assizes, the courts which the judges still hold under the king's commission when they tour the country on circles. This early unification of the law in Britain has been an event of abiding importance. It gave the country a strong law, and perhaps it is partly the strength of law that has made Englishmen one of the most law-abiding nations in the world. Another result of the unification of the law, or at least the method by which it came about, was to give the office of the judge a prestige and influence far above that which holds in it other system. The common law was in origin a judge-made law. The decision of one judge was followed by others because that was the easiest thing to do. In this way, precedence and the doctrine of state educes is let the rule stand where evolved. Page number 25. The doctrine embraces even the statute law, and it is an invariable rule of British jurisprudence that a decision given by a judge as to what the common law is or what the statutes mean shall be accepted as a rule to be applied in all similar cases until it is set aside by a judge of a higher court or until a new act of parliament settles the matter beyond doubt. The common law is, therefore, a body of rules which had never been ordained by any monarch or enacted by any legislative body. It grew by decision and record. It is still the most fundamental element in the British system. In particular, it covers the general principles of the law of contracts and the civil wrongs. The criminal law, too, was the common law, though most of it has now been put into statutory form. 20.0 Rule of Law. Rule of law denotes a principle of governance which requires the following conditions to be fulfilled. A. Law of the land should be properly notified so that the citizens know as to how it will affect them. B. Laws should be general in form so that they are uniformly applicable to all the citizens. There should be no separate laws for any specific category of people. C. No law should be applicable with retrospective effect. And finally, D. Power of governance should be exercised strictly in accordance with the procedures, principles, and restraints provided in the body of law and not on any other basis. The main thrust of the rule of law is that government should not be arbitrary, but should be conducted through the procedures authorized by legislation and passed in proper form. Citizens should be punished for breaches of law and for nothing else. An official status should not protect a person from the operation of legal sanctions if he has broken a law. A.V. Dicey, the eminent British jurist, in his Introduction to the Study of Law of the Constitution, in brackets 1885, termed the rule of law the governing principle of the British Constitution. According to him, it stands for equality before law, which implied equal subjugation of all classes, including the officials, to ordinary law of the land, administered by ordinary law courts. This was a distinct feature of the British legal system, as distinguished from the French legal system. Under the French legal system, disputes between officials and subjects were dealt with by a special division of the judicial system, while in England they were dealt with by ordinary law courts concerned with disputes between subject and subject. Officials in England did not enjoy immunity from law as enjoyed by foreign diplomats. Page number 26. Check your progress. 1. Note 1. Use the space given below for your answer. Also, check your answer with the clue given at the end of the book. Question number 1. What is rule of law? 20.3. Rule of law in UK. Rule of law in England also implies that since there is no provision of constitutional guarantee of the rights of the citizens because of its unwritten constitution, the remedies, benefits, and liberties provided in their ordinary law are the foundation of their constitutional system. Dicey's critics argue that the rule of law simply regulates the legal procedure. It is silent as regards the content of law. It has no mechanism to contain the unlimited sovereignty of the British Parliament. If the Parliament enacts an unjust or discriminatory law, it cannot be remedied by the rule of law. However, this criticism is based on a very narrow interpretation of Dicey's thought. Dicey himself pointed out that the true meaning of this principle can be understood by carefully examining the manner in which the law of England deals with the right to personal freedom, freedom of discussion, public meeting, martial law, collection and expenditure of public revenue, and the responsibility of ministers. Thus, the essence of the rule of law lies in the provision of legal protection of individual rights. It is true that the unrestricted sovereignty of the British Parliament provides for no scope of constitutional guarantees, yet this sovereignty is controlled by constitutional conventions which make the legal sovereign accountable to political sovereign, that is, the electorate. Truly speaking, the term rule of law comprehends those devices of limited government which are adopted for the protection of rights of the citizens. In other democratic countries where written constitutions have been adopted, such as the United States and India, civil rights are protected by constitutional guarantee. These rights represent a concrete expression of the tenets underlying the wider interpretation of the rule of law. Page number 27. In common parlance, the rule of law requires that laws should be definite and unambiguous, clearly notified and made known to everybody, and equally applicable to all. But it does not imply identical rights and duties of all citizens. This may be illustrated by the case of traffic regulation. Every road user is governed by the same law, but it does not rule out streamlining of traffic according to the nature, size, and speed of each vehicle. Here, rule of law requires that every road user should be fully aware as to which side or lane he or she should take, how to give way to faster traffic, how to overtake slower traffic, where one is allowed to turn, slow down, or stop, and so on. It may even allow priority to police vehicles, ambulances, fire service, and other emergency services provided they display and announce proper signs of warning to the rest of traffic. For a long time, there was a general prejudice in the Anglo-Saxon countries against administrative courts. But such prejudice is not so strong now. In every country, the ordinary citizen has different status from that of the government official as regard privileges and immunities. Judges of administrative courts, contrary to the popular opinion, are not at the mercy of the government of the day, but they have shown considerable independence of action. In hundreds of cases, they have decided in favor of individuals against government officials. Considerations of equity are often taken into account. Garner says that for the French people, the Council of State has come to have a position of respect similar to that enjoyed by the Supreme Court in America. Thus, rule of law is one of the very important features of the British Constitution, is the recognition of the rule of law. It is based on the common law of the land and is the product of centuries of struggles of the people for the recognition of their inherent rights and privileges. It means three things. First, that what is supreme in Britain is law. There is no such thing as arbitrary power, and every rule by which the government governs must be authorized by law, either statute law, passed by the Parliament, or by the ancient principles of common law, which have been recognized for many hundreds of years now. In other words, the Latin tag populi supreme lex, the welfare of the people is the supreme law, cannot be used by the government as an excuse for pursuing its own idea of public interest without regard for legality. Second, that everyone is subject to the law, and no one can plead that he acted under orders. His business, like everyone else, is to obey the law. Page number 28. The government and its officials derive such power as they possess from the ordinary law. Third, the rule of law makes the government subject to Parliament and through Parliament to the people. To put it another way, parliamentary supremacy is, in part, only tolerable because the rule of law is recognized. The meaning of the term rule of law can best be understood by considering what government can be like without it. In France, before the Revolution, the nobility enjoyed special privileges and immunities, and they could disregard the ordinary law. They could imprison and punish their inferiors without putting them through any form of trial. In Britain, the law gives no such privileges and everyone is subject to the same law. The Crown and the government, the executive and its officials, are subject to exactly the same law administered exactly in the same courts as the most humble citizen. This is the meaning of the phrase equality before law. In Germany, Hitler's expressed wishes were law and his government had no power to imprison people without trial or even people who had been tried and acquitted by a duly constituted court by law. Where the rule of law prevails, no one can suffer any penalty or loss of liberty unless he has been tried and sentenced by a court. At one time, it was the practice in periods of emergency in Britain to pass acts of Parliament suspending the issue of the writ of habeas corpus. In the two world wars, it was thought desirable not to take this course. The government was, however, empowered to intern suspected persons without trial, though special committees were appointed by the Home Secretary in order to consider cases of persons so detained and asked whether or not he ought to release them. But these emergency provisions were among the first to be abolished as soon as the emergency had ceased. The other side to the rule of law is the possibility which it affords the ordinary citizen of reacting against interferences with his rights by any other person, even though he is a government servant. The law in this respect was formerly imperfect. It has now been considerably improved by the Crown's Proceedings Act, 1947, which makes the Crown liable to action like any other ordinary person and reduced to a minimum its privileges in litigation. Dicey's exposition of the rule of law. The conception of the rule of law was given classical formulation by A.V. Dicey. Dicey gave to the rule of law three meanings. It means, in the first place, that no man is punishable or can be lawfully made to suffer in body or goods except for a distinct breach of law established in the ordinary courts of the land. Page number 29. In this sense, the rule of law is contrasted with every system of government based on the exercise by persons in authority of wider arbitrary or discretionary powers of constraint. This principle implies that no person may be arbitrarily deprived of life, liberty, or property. No one may be arrested and detained except for a definite breach of law, which must be proved in a duly constituted court by law. Cases are not tried behind closed doors, but in open courts to which public has free access. The accused has the right of being represented and defended by a counsel, and in all serious criminal cases, he must be tried by a jury. Judgment is rendered in open court, and the accused has the right to appeal to higher courts. All this reduces to the minimum the possibility of executive arbitrariness and consequently oppression. It establishes absolute supremacy of law. The rule of law, in the second place, means not only with us is no man above the law, but what is a different thing here, every man, whatever be his rank or condition, is subject to the ordinary law of the realm and amenable to the jurisdiction of the ordinary tribunals. It implies, in the first place, the equality of every citizen, irrespective of his official or societal status before the law. Secondly, there is only one kind of law in Britain to which all Englishmen are amenable. All public officials, high or low, are under the same responsibility for every act done by them. If public officials do no wrong to an individual or exceed the power vested in them by law, they can be sued in the ordinary courts and tried in the ordinary manner, subject to the provisions of the ordinary law. The equality of all in the eyes of law minimizes tyranny and irresponsibility of the executive. Dicey, in elaborating the principle of equality before law, says, "With us, every official, from prime minister to constable or a collector of taxes, is under the same responsibility for every act done without legal justification as any other citizen." Finally, the rule of law means that with the British, the general principles of the Constitution are the result of judicial decisions determining the rights of private persons in particular cases brought before the courts. In Britain, rights of the citizens do not flow from the Constitution, but from judicial decisions in particular cases, as in the famous Wilkes case, and from no statements of general Constitution and principles. Dicey was a great admirer of the rule of law. He maintained that there was liberty in Britain because there was rule of law. But, in reality, there are some significant departures from the meanings given by Dicey to the concept of rule of law. Page number 30. Dicey himself admitted these exceptions, although his admission did little to modify the widespread influence of the mistaken views he had propagated so effectively. In considering Dicey's first meaning of the rule of law, a distinction must be made between arbitrary power and discretionary authority. It is still an essential principle of the constitutional government in Britain that there should be no exercise of arbitrary authority. When Dicey referred to ordinary law, he had in his mind the common law or the statute law. Today, criminal law includes innumerable offences which are created by statutory regulations. The power to create offences by regulations made by the government departments or subordinate bodies has become an inevitable task of the modern state. The growth of delegated legislation touches upon the principle of the rule of law. Check your progress. 2. Note 1. Use the space given below for your answer. Also, check your answer with the clue given at the end of the unit. 1. Discuss rule of law in UK. 20.4. Conclusion. The meaning of law and the kinds of law thus clearly show us that basically law has a definite function. Their performance in a civilized society is differentiated into varied heads to perform different tasks, placing certain limitations to their area of operation and to specialize in them, thus suggesting that laws are here to stay in any form to bring about order in societies. Page number 31. 20.5. Let us sum up. On the whole, it is clear that the laws operate to condition human beings in a given society. They help them to coexist, cooperate, and live in harmony. These important components of law are thus stemming from the traditions of the past and customs practiced. Hence, their importance. 20.6. Keywords. Immunity means insusceptibility. Jurisdiction means joint sovereignty. Jurisprudence means the study of law. Adjudication means judgment. Vogue means style. 20.7. Some useful books. S.I. Bean, R.S. Peters. Social Principles and the Democratic State. Open brackets, London, George Allen and Unwin, 1975. Roscoe Pound, The Spirit of the Common Law. Open brackets, New Hampshire, Marshall Jones Company, 1931. Robert M. McIver, The Modern State. Open brackets, London, Oxford University Press, 1966. R. H. Tawney, Equality, London, George Allen and Unwin, 1938. 20.8. Answer to check your progress exercises. Check your progress 1. See section 20.2. Check your progress 2. See section 20.3.